doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Arden State Player back with you here on 720 WGN. So here's some statistics for you. So 60% of the people of Illinois are fully vaccinated. 76% plus have at least one dose. Why are we still dealing with this? Dr. Ian Smith joins us once again to break it all down. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, I thought at some point in the last few months we'd be pivoting out of this conversation to other things. We're stuck in neutral here, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at some of our old interviews over the past year, and I was very clear that this is going to be here for a while. And the reason why it's going to be here for a while is because there's no unanimity, there's no cohesion in how we plan on doing this together. You cannot attack a viral pandemic by people doing what they want to do. It just doesn't work that way. You can't fight a war by soldiers doing whatever they think that they want to do. You fight a war by a plan, there's implementation, there's all kinds of rules of engagement. Well, into a pandemic, and unfortunately, we have refused in many quarters to follow basic science, and this is where we are.
You know, here's the thing, okay, so public health experts, and I've seen this and read this all over the place, continue to believe that these breakthrough infections are relatively uncommon. I want to hear your thoughts about that, and rarely result in severe illness or hospitalizations because you got the vaccine already. But, you know, it's a powerful protection from serious COVID illnesses, hospitalization, and death. And a recent analysis in the state said that more than 9 in 10 COVID cases right now that resulted in hospitalization and death occurred among people who were not fully vaccinated.
Yes. So both of those things are true, by the way. It's true that, number one, that they're not very common. These infections, the breakthrough infections, are not very common right now. And number two, the good news about being vaccinated is while you still can get infected even if you're vaccinated, the journey or the course of illness is much milder and rarely, if ever, will lead to death. Now, the caveat to that statement or those two statements is that's where we are now. Right. And what we've learned very well during this pandemic is this is a very fluid situation, and things change very quickly. While there may be few breakthrough infections, if this variant continues to become a more aggressive variant and Delta goes to Delta Plus to Lambda to who knows what, the more variants develop, it is going to be likely that the infections are going to be greater, the breakthrough infection rate will be higher, and the course of illness could be worse even for those who are vaccinated. So this is why, you know, I have said this countless times. We are in a race against the clock. The longer we remain unvaccinated, the longer there is a segment of the population that remains vulnerable to infection, that is those who are unvaccinated and not wearing masks and such, the more that happens, the more variants are going to emerge, and the more variants that emerge, the more dangerous they're going to become, and the vaccines that we all have gotten, those of us who have gotten them, those vaccines will become more and more useless, and we're going to need new vaccines, boosters, all kinds of different things, because we're not going to be able to fight the new variants.
Well, and the new one, Delta, I mean, we're talking about, you know, mask wearing. I was seeing Dr. Fauci talk a little bit about this, that it's more the virus is in your nose and upper respiratory tract. So the mask wearing is a step to prevent, you know, spreading that to others.
It's a multifaceted approach when dealing with the virus. The first thing is not to transmit the virus. What's the best way not to transmit the virus? One, if you have it, to stay away from others, to wear masks, and for those who don't have it, but they're in the company of someone who may have had it, of course, to remain clean and wash surfaces in your hands, okay? The other way, of course, is to get vaccinated. People who are vaccinated tend to get infected less, and they tend to transmit it less. That's how the vaccine and the virus work. So, you know, these are the mitigating factors. It's just that simple. There's nothing else. I mean, this is not a complicated situation. I mean, this is so, any second year medical student can tell you this stuff. And, you know, people have politicized it. We have these anti-vaccine movements, these protesters, all these things that have absolutely nothing to do with science. We have people who barely took high school science, who want to try to educate and spew what they think the facts are about vaccines and viruses, and it's just ridiculous. The world is upside down right now, at least in America.
Now, children 5 to 11 are the next group in line to become eligible to receive the vaccine, and, you know, an updated emergency use authorization from the FDA would make at least 28 million children accessible to this, but that might not come till the end of the year, I hear.
That is true, and this is why it's so nonsensical for people to think that it's okay to go to schools with no mask and no kind of social distancing. I mean, there are 20-plus million young children who are open and susceptible to the virus. And even if you're vaccinated, which is great, you still can infect someone else.
You know, we also been talking about a booster shot. So talk to us a little bit about that. Really explain that to us and who should get it and why.
So basically what they have found is that while the vaccine tends to be effective at producing antibodies and the antibodies fight against the virus, what they've realized is that between 6 to 8 months, the level of antibodies that are circulating in your blood, those are your soldiers, they start to diminish. And if the level of antibodies or the number of soldiers in your blood gets below a certain threshold, then you become extremely vulnerable to getting infected by the virus. And so, and this is just not with the COVID vaccine. And so what you do is you get a booster shot. And what the booster shot does is it sparks your immune system to produce those antibodies again. And now you have good levels, good circulating levels of those antibody soldiers to help fight infection. That's where we are right now. And we're going to need boosters. And a booster shot can be either a third shot, basically, of the same vaccine. So if you got two, you just get one more shot.
Right.
It's the same formulation. Or they may decide to add something to it based on what the variants look like.
Makes sense. Okay, makes sense. We're talking to Dr. Ian Smith, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN. State player on 720 WGN, we're talking to Dr. Ian Smith. We're talking about kids going back to school, which they've been doing for the last 3 to 4 weeks now. And, you know, there's a concern about mental health. And a lot of these kids were outside of the classroom, off the athletic field, away from their friends. Some kids are jumping right in, and, you know, they're jumping right in with no issues. But there are, this took a toll on some of these kids. And I was reading that girls were impacted more by the pandemic than teen boys. 44% of girls reported feeling that their mental health had worsened compared to 29% of boys. Moreover, nearly half of all teen girls reported feelings of depression. So what could we do as kids are really still starting to get back into the swing of things as not being in the classroom for so long? What can we do as parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, godparents? What can we do to support them?
Well, man, this is really difficult. You know, I'm a parent, and so, you know, my kids are in the sweet spot of being affected by it. And what's really difficult for me as a parent is to hear people say that they're concerned about kids and that kids are negatively impacted and kids need normalcy. Yes, kids need all of these things. And the best way to get our kids some normalcy is for us to behave like responsible adults. And we've not been behaving like responsible adults. We've been very selfish and in many cases very foolish. Kids need to be supported. Kids want to go back to school without masks. I want kids to go back to school without masks. Kids want to be able to hang out at the lockers and be able to sit next to each other in the cafeteria. All those things, unfortunately, are not back yet. And if the viral number, the infection number, continues the way it's been going the last few weeks, we're going to face a situation like we did last year where it's a great chance we may go remote if the numbers get too big, and we're going to start this cycle all over again. So the best thing that parents can do is talk to their kids. That's number one. Have your kids be able to express what their anxiety is, what their difficulties are. And even if a kid seems okay and fine, kids are very tough, and they may not wear on their sleeve how they're feeling. You have to talk to your children and make sure that you're discussing what may be troubling them. And it may not be something very obvious, but even small things, and that can lead to a bigger conversation. So I think that the conversation is important, but I also think that we as adults have to behave responsibly to try to make it as safe as possible so kids can go back and do all the things that they've missed doing.
I know the White House announced funding recently to help with this. So $10.7 million in American Rescue Plan funds for the Pediatric Mental Health Care Access Program, which trains primary care providers to treat and refer kids for mental health issues. So, you know, to raise awareness is important, to train school personnel and programs that coordinate treatment for young people with emotional disorders. It's probably pretty high right now.
100%. And this is where the school staff has to be trained and also to be very alert, because they aren't always obvious signs. It's not always that kid is yelling and screaming and acting out for you to realize there's a problem. You got to look for subtle signs. You know, a child may not be doing as well as they typically do in their grades. They may not be as socially outgoing as they typically are. Small little cues could be signs that there's something underlying as far as the mental health, and school counselors and teachers and staff members need to be attuned to this possibility.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dr. Ian Smith. One of the things about kids going back to school, I think eating habits have changed quite a bit since people have been home more. And I'm not going to say it's healthier. It's healthier for some. Most people gained a little weight. Some people lost some weight. I did. But, you know, making sure your kids are getting a really healthy, well-balanced diet is critically important, especially for their mental health.
Yeah, you know, it's really been a mixed bag. You know, some people have gained weight, some have lost weight, some are eating better, some are eating worse. I mean, it's kind of all over the spectrum, so it's hard to make a general statement about the nutritional transformation or changes that people have undergone. But I will say this, is that people are definitely now more in tune, however, with what they're doing, with what they're eating, and why they're eating it. And I think that this is what we have to pay attention to. I think that, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for parents and others to be able to go and look at all the things that they've done during the pandemic and see where they can make improvements. I think this is key. You know, there's some people who made some really positive changes during the pandemic at home, being able to control more of their food and those kinds of things. But unfortunately, there are others who just kind of, and understandably, there are others who just kind of let it go because they're so stressed out. So I think that as we get to a better handle on this, people need to use nutrition in a nourishing way rather than a way for relief.
Your new book is Fast Burn. We'll pivot a little bit to adults here. You know, I don't like talking about really weight loss. I'd rather talk about eating healthier and getting in some exercise with all that. But in order to slim down, it's all about, in this book, it's about food energy. And it has to be less of what your body needs. And that's what negative energy is all about, right?
Yeah, so negative, you know, positive energy means food is energy. Positive energy means that you're eating more food than your food calories. You're eating more food calories than you're burning off. That puts you in the positive energy state. That, of course, leads to weight gain. Negative energy balance means that the food calories that you have on board do not meet the body's energy requirements, and so you are at a deficit. It's negative energy, and that's where you want to be to lose weight, because when you don't have enough energy from the food you're eating, your body still needs the energy. It doesn't say, okay,
right,
well,
right,
there's not enough from food, so I don't need anymore. No, the body still needs the energy, but what the body does is the body will go into your fat stores to get that energy, and that's how you start burning fat. And in fast burn, one of the things that people talk a lot about is how they're losing weight around the midsection and burning fat, because their body, the program puts the body in that negative energy state.
Well, and this is all about mindset, too. You have to really adjust the way you see food and how you eat. More importantly, it's about knowing, you know, and this was the success story for me. I don't want to feel like the way I did. I don't want to feel sluggish. I want to feel great, and making sure that you're eating right, and some intermittent fasting and some other things in here is you want to feel better every day.
Yeah, I mean, the mindset is so critical. I wrote a book a couple years ago called Mind Over Weight, and it's all about the mental approach to food and to weight loss and to weight maintenance. So many people have the right intentions. They may have a good plan, but their mind's just not in the right place. And so, you know, I encourage people to just get your mind has to go first. You know, your body will go where your mind goes. And I think that people would be very well suited to figure out how to develop mental strategies and have an awareness of where they are mentally.
Dr. Ian Smith, DrIanSmith.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, The Rachel Ray Show. You can find him and follow him everywhere. Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dave. Always good talking to you.
All right, we'll talk soon. All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.